The door to the bathroom opened, and the woman I'd heard before came out. She now wore a knit fabric dress, the color of dark wine, and a couple of combs held her hair back from her face. She wouldn't stand out in a crowd, but she wasn't unattractive.
"He's not Gaston," she said, frowning at me.
"No," said the blonde. "He was here for the merchandise. He was just about to leave with it."
The dark-haired woman nodded and asked me,
"Who are you?"
"Dresden," I said. "I'm a private investigator, Ms. Garcia." Francisca Garcia's features froze, and she traded a look with the gun-wielding blonde.
"How did you know my name?"
"My client told me. You and Ms. Valmont could be in a lot of trouble." Anna Valmont kicked the wall and spat, "Bollocks!" She glared at me, gun steady on me, despite her outburst.
"Are you working with Interpol?"
"Rome." Anna looked at Francisca and said,
"We should scrub this sale. It's falling apart."
"Not yet," Francisca said.
"There's no point in waiting."
"I'm not leaving yet," the dark-haired woman said, her eyes hard. "Not until he gets here."
"He isn't coming," Anna said. "You know he isn't."
"Who?" I asked. Francisca said,
"Gaston."
I didn't say anything. Evidently, Francisca could read faces well enough that I didn't have to. She stared at me for a moment and then closed her eyes, the blood draining from her face.
"Oh, oh, Dio."
"How?" Anna said. The gun never wavered.
"How did it happen?"
"Murder," I said quietly. "And someone set it up to point the police at Chicago."
"Who would have done that?"
"Some bad people after the Shroud. Killers."
"Terrorists?"
"Not that playful," I said. "As long as you have the Shroud, your lives are in danger. If you come with me, I can get you to some people who will protect you." Francisca shook her head and blinked her eyes a couple of times.
"You mean the police?"
I meant the Knights, but I knew darn well what their stance would be on what to do with the thieves once any supernatural peril was past. "Yeah." Anna swallowed and looked at her partner. Something around her eyes softened with concern, with sympathy. The two of them weren't solely partners in crime. They were friends. Anna's voice softened as she said,
"Seska, we have to move. If this one found us, others may not be far behind."
The dark-haired woman nodded, her eyes not focused on anything.
"Yes, I'll get ready."
She rose and stepped across the cabin to the washing machine. She drew out a pair of gym bags and put them on the counter over the package. Then she slipped into some shoes. Anna watched for a moment and then said to me,
"Now, we can't have you running to the police to tell them everything. I wonder what to do with you, Mr. Dresden. It really does make a great deal of sense to kill you."
"Messy, remember? You'd have that dreary day," I pointed out. That got a bit of a smile from her.
"Ah, yes, I'd forgotten."
She reached into her pocket and drew out a pair of steel handcuffs. They were police quality, not the naughty fun kind. She tossed them to me underhand. I caught them.
"Put one on your wrist," she said.
I did.
"There's a ring on that bulkhead. Put the other through it and lock the cuffs."
I hesitated, watching Francisca slip into a coat, her expression still blank. I licked my lips and said,
"You don't know how much danger you two are in, Miss Valmont. You really don't. Please, let me help you."
"I think not. We're professionals, Mr. Dresden. Thieves we might be, but we do have a work ethic."
"You didn't see what they did to Gaston Laroche," I said. "How bad it was."
"When isn't death bad? The bulkhead, Mr. Dresden."
"But," Anna lifted the gun. I grimaced and lifted the cuffs to a steel ring protruding from the wall beside the stairs. As a result, I was looking up them to the ship's deck when the second denarian in 12 hours came hurtling down the stairway, straight toward me.